Let's jump in. We're going through Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, and we've arrived at chapter 6. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, Paul began by just simply talking about what he calls the believer's walk. The word walk means how we order our lives, how we conduct ourselves, the choices we make and the attitudes we have. And in there, Paul basically is saying, look, God has poured out His riches, His grace, His love, His all upon us. And for everyone who's received of God's love, of that work of the cross and all, there's a change now. And he's saying that change should look like something. It should look like what he calls our walk. And in chapter 5, he began by saying that walk should be one we walk in love. Not just in God's love, but loving others. His love working through our lives. The call in chapter 5, walk in love. The next thing he said was walk as children of light. We've come out of the dark. We're in His light now. Let our lives reflect that light to this dark world. And right before we get to chapter 6, he had come to the idea of also now make sure you walk circumspectly. It's a word that means walk carefully. That we are in a world where there's potholes all around us. There are spiritual traps trying to trip us up and all. So walk carefully. Walk diligently. So walk in love. Walk in the light as children of the light. And walk carefully. Walk wisely has been the call. Now, in light of those things, he says now, here's some relationships to apply it. He right then begins to get into our interpersonal relationships. He began towards the end of chapter 5 by saying, let's look at our marital relationships. And he talked about how husbands are to be toward wives and wives toward husbands as we walk in Him, as this new work He's done in our lives is reflected in these settings. It wrapped up for husband and wife, really kind of summarized in verse 33 of chapter 5, where he said, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Well, now we come to chapter 6. Now, of course, the original writings didn't have chapter and verse in them. It was just one long letter. The chapter and verses were added later for our ease of study and finding various verses and all. But it's just a continual letter. So after the first point of the marital relationship in terms of application, he now moves into the second and third interpersonal relationship where he's going to apply these truths. Let's look at it. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Paul is continuing to show us that this new life, remember, he's talking about putting on the new man. This new life, this new creation that we are, is to look like something. It's to be lived out in our very specific situations, places that God has us in. Here we see two more of those places where we're to live it out. I've called our time together this morning from the heart to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are in awe of the way you love us, the mercy, the grace you've extended to us. Lord, we're in awe of the way you work in us. This whole change. You changed our eternal destiny. You've changed our very nature. You've made us new creations. How we thank you for all of that. And thank you for the way you are continuing to work. Lord, use this morning towards that end, that we might know you better, that we might be growing in you, that we can reflect you to a world that needs to see you and know you. Lord, have your way. But not just here. We stop to pray for the children. We pray for our youth department. We pray for all the teachers, the workers. let them be blessed and encouraged also. Lord, just saying from youngest to oldest, have your way. Have your way in each one of us, Lord. And may it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing for this morning, I couldn't help but think about when our children were born. Because we're going to talk about children and parents here right off the bat. And I think about that morning, that day when Tim, our son Tim, most of you know Tim, and of course then again for our daughter Kelly, but I remember when Tim being our firstborn, I remember he's born, labor had been a total snap for Kathy went through a long labor, and the night came into daytime, and they finally said, go ahead and get on your little scrubs, you know, because you get to be in there for the birth and all. I went and put on my little things they had you have you put on, and I remember the sun was coming up, and I looked out the window, and I had such a sense of God saying, I'm about to give you a gift, and I want you to take care of him for me. And it was such a precious thing to realize, I'm giving life here, and I'm going to entrust him to you guys. And the same for our daughter, too. But I want us to understand that this morning as we come to this first topic. Let's look at it. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Christians normally, when they look at the Ten Commandments, divide the Ten Commandments into two parts. But typically what happens is, we find ourselves dividing them into the first four commandments and then the next six. And the reason that often happens is because the first four in particular are commandments that have to do with our vertical relationship with God. Then the six remaining Ten Commandments are towards, or tend to be towards, or most people think of as our about our relationship with one another. So the first four, vertical, and the remaining six Ten Commandments, horizontal, with others. This is the first of that second group about relationships with others. And it's speaking about parents and children. Now, it's interesting. As I was studying for this, I read a couple of commentaries that pointed out that the Jews divide the Ten Commandments up a little different. The Jews tend to divide the Ten Commandments up into five and five. They look at this verse right here that's quoted, honor your father and mother. It points out that they tend to look at this as seeing it's something that you do as a duty towards God even more than a duty towards man. The point is this. To God, this is important stuff. The parent-child relationship is designed by God to be lived out in His design and plan and all, and He does have that, thank God. He does have a plan for parenting and bringing children. But it's, and He says, and here's what's to mark it. It's important to Him. And what does He say? He says, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. Children, you're to obey and honor. What's the difference? Well, I've heard it summarized this way. Obey has to do with action. Honor has to do with attitude. God would have children obey their parents, but not just rotely, not just, well, I have to or get in trouble, but hopefully children coming to understand because of the way it's done and the way they're taught, the blessing behind it. That there would be that honoring. There would be the attitude that goes with it. Now, in saying this, let me just preface all this by saying, when it speaks about children obey your parents, this doesn't mean that children are to obey when something is ungodly. Just as we're called to obey the law of the land, that reaches its limit. That does not apply if the law of the land goes against what God says. The apostles one time said that. They're speaking to the authority and say, well, whether you're going to obey man or not, we're going to obey God. And that's always the case. We follow the law until the law should somehow come into contradiction to Scripture, then we go with Scripture. And so, yes, as even as children, if your parents were to try to encourage you to do something not of God, then of course I should say, hold on. But other than that, there is that call that we are, that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. See, the idea is that God has an order for the home. And when lived out in God's way, it's a blessing for all involved. The breakdown of the home is a very sad thing. And yet we see it's very rampant in our culture. We see more and more today of the breakdown of the home. This idea of an order for the home, structure, children obeying parents, flies in the face of much of what is put on TV, sitcoms, all those kind of things, will tell you, oh, that's antiquated. That's dumb. I mean, almost all sitcoms now, what, show parents as buffoons. They don't know anything, and children are always outsmarting them, and they know better. And so often the culture picks that up, and so they see it in their friends and everything else. It's important that we explain the blessings of godly order in the home. It's for the good of everybody involved. And you know, the home is a big part of a nation's foundation. The Lord designed the home to operate under His covering. As Paul was writing to the church in Rome, he's writing to the Romans, Paul began to list the symptoms of a society that was corrupt and breaking down. Won't list all of it, but it's noticeable in Romans 1:30, as he's listing the things that mark a society where things are going sideways, he points out there'll be backbiters, haters of God, the violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. One thing of a breakdown of society and culture is when disobedience to parents becomes rampant. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul says this, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." The list goes on. I just bring those two up to point that out, that they are symptoms of when things are coming apart. So it's important. It's important. The admonition is clear. It's for children to obey their parents. Now, on the flip side of that means parents, you're called to your side of this. Today, too often we see parents abdicating that position. It's just too crazy, kids are out of control, I can't fight culture. They just throw up their hands in exasperation or just trying to muddle through somehow. I just want to encourage parents, you matter. And discipline matters. Having boundaries matters. Your children need to learn the blessings of that. Now, being a parent is hard stuff. And I understand that. Children don't come to you and say, "By the way, thank you for disciplining me. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for making me have a timeout. Thank you for not letting me with my friends when they were all there having fun and I didn't get to go." They don't do that. So you need to hear "well done" from the Lord. And I want this morning to be do that partly for you. Parents, you matter. And hold the line. Have those boundaries. Now, how you do that, again, we're going to address in a moment. There's ways not to and ways to do it. But please understand, it's for everybody's good to have that. It's your responsibility, parents, to teach children discipline, to teach them obedience. Their employers are going to require it. The law requires it. School's going to go a lot better if they understand it. Teaching children to have discipline is a good thing. And again, I know it's frustrating because they're not going to pat you on the back for it, but the Lord sees, and He wants to encourage you this morning in that. One of your most important jobs as a parent is not just loving them up, but raising them up. And that includes the area of discipline and obedience. Parents, it's not a mean thing to train your children to obey, to have discipline. So often the goal of some parents is they want to be their child's best friend. Well, your child can have a lot of best friends. They only got one mom and dad. Be that for them. Of course you love them and close to them, enjoy those times together. Indeed, that's a good vehicle to teach and do these things. But they only have one parent. Don't abdicate that. But draw some encouragement this morning as we consider about this. You see, if done correctly, this could be a blessing. This could be for their health and blessing. But let's talk about that idea of doing it correctly. Verse 4. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." It's a rhetorical question, but I want to think about it. What does it mean to parent in such a way that you provoke your children to wrath? Does it just mean you're asking them to do something they don't want to do? That seems to get wrath sometimes from them. No, it's not just talking about that. It's talking about how you go about this whole thing. Well, what are some ways that God would not have us to parent? He's going to do the negative first here, then the positive. The negative is don't be parenting like this. Don't provoke to wrath. Well, how do you do that? Well, a couple ways that you might be aware of, or at least keep in mind, is first of all, you provoke to wrath when you make unreasonable demands. Be careful you don't ask your children to be adults, to think like an adult. Why in the world would you do that? What were you thinking? Well, they weren't. They saw it. They went for it. I mean, what were you thinking? Well, Dad, I was thinking I wanted to get in trouble, so I thought I'd go ahead and break that thing. I thought I'd throw the ball right at the window. No! So we have to be careful. And making unreasonable demands, expecting children to be what they're not able to yet. We're told to avoid that. That just provokes a bitterness and a wrathfulness in our kids. Another way you might provoke to wrath or to avoid is by belittling. Too many times parenting sometimes takes the form of just belittling the children. How dumb are you? Why can't you be like everybody else? Look at your siblings. Look at the neighbor kid. And on, we belittle them. We're told to avoid that. They are who they are. They're under construction, just like us. We need to remember that. Certainly you provoke to wrath here. You do it incorrectly through abuse. We're never to abuse. Of course, never physical. But also there's such a thing as verbal and emotional abuse. Avoid that. Nothing good will come from that except for bitterness and harshness on their side, the reaction to that. Avoid abuse. Don't frustrate. Don't have the bar so high they can never live up to it. We all hear, and maybe you yourself find yourself sometimes saying, you know, I could never please my dad. I could never please my mom. No matter what I did, it was never good enough. Now, that could be exaggerated, especially kids, when they're still kids, will tell you that. But unfortunately, oftentimes it can be true. They just feel like they can never be good enough. The bar is too high. Be careful about that stuff. Avoid put-downs. Avoid endless teasing. Of course, there's a place for good-natured fun sometimes and joking around, but just teasing. Oh, you'll grow into those ears someday. That's rough. Why can't you be like that? Teasing, put-downs, they shouldn't be part of our way we parent. But that's enough of that. We understand. There's wrong ways to go about this. But we are to do some things here. And what is it? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So we do have our part. But in particular, I want you to notice who he addresses here. For who's he say specifically? And you? You can look. It's okay, look down. Who's he talking to? And you? Fathers. I'm watching all the wives' elbows working on their mate right now. Talking to you? No. But guys, when you hear this, I hope you hear it as a loving encouragement. Because I know sometimes we hear that calling to be a parent, we go like, gosh. You know, mom just seems to have such an innate ability to do this better. Laura, just let my wife do it. Let the women nurture the kids. I'll earn the paycheck. I'll bring home the money. When there's some hard discipline has to be made it out, okay, I'll do that. But let the wife. Well, wives do sometimes have a real sense of that better. And they just have that loving instinct and the connection with the kids. But men, we can't just abdicate the throne. We have our part in all this. And it's a good part, guys, if we'll see it for what it is. What a blessing a godly man is in the life of his children. And you don't have to have a doctorate in theology or something. Well, know the Bible that well. Hopefully you'll see. Just a timely word. A hug. Those kind of things. Time spent. Well, I don't spend a lot of time. I just spend quality time. You can't have quality time without quantity time. It's time. Taking the time to invest in them is the calling. But just notice this. Dads, we are called to be involved in the training up, the nurturing, the admonition of the children. And kids do look to dad so often. It means a lot when dad takes that time, compliments, corrects in a loving way. Spends that time, dad. This last week, Kathy and I did a little camping. I was watching this dad playing with this young boy. And they were throwing the ball. He's talking to him. And that dad could have very well said, you know, I'm on vacation. I'm going to veg. Just go play. Find someone to play with. But instead, he was playing with the child, talking to him about how to catch the ball at all. What a memory. How important that is. Because more than catching a ball, he was creating a bond with his son. There was a connection there now. So I encourage you in this. Be available. Be available and spend that time you need to. Now, keep in mind, I know that not all are in that kind of situation. I'm very aware that not all have that available. Kids don't always have both parents, but both sides of the equation, be all you can be in this. Be all you can be in this. But dads, recognize in this the important, important calling. Psalm 127:3 is a good scripture, and a well-known scripture, and for good reason. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. You might want to put that on a card somewhere the next time at 3 in the morning. And they stick, and you're going, okay, Lord, just remind me again now. This is a blessing. They're a reward. The next time the teacher calls you and goes, we need a parent meeting over your kid, where's that scripture? Oh, yeah, kids are a blessing. Because sometimes we lose sight of this, and yet it's so true. As I said a moment ago, when I think of Tim being born, and then later our daughter, what a blessing for God to say, now here, raise him up for me, love him for me, train him for me, for they are a reward. Do you see your kids as a reward? Don't lose sight of that. I know it gets tiring and stressful, but don't miss seeing what a blessing they are. And let me ask you this. If you say yes, yeah, I really see my children are a blessing. Do they know it? Have you told them you love them? Have you taken time to give that hug? To let them know that you consider them a blessing from God? Or are they just, too many parents just like, if you ask the kids, they say, oh, I think I'm just a pain to my parents. I just seem to bug them all the time. Children are a blessing from God, and we're to treat them as such. So I just want to encourage you, both mom and dad, whatever your settings are, you matter. You matter in that situation. In particular, he's addressing dads, so I speak to you fathers. And you know what, fathers? You can do this. Because what God calls us to, he's faithful. He will enable us to do. And again, you can take that time. I know it's hard. You come home from work, you're beat, you just go play ball. Go outside. I want to rest. But just a little time can make so much difference. Ask them how school went, whatever it might be. Maybe you're into a hobby together. But then also talking to them about the Lord in that. See, it's possible to say, you know what? That's the children's ministry's job. That's one reason I go to church. And I'm glad you bring the kids here. That speaks well of you. But if you just rely upon that one half hour time here and nothing throughout the week, they watch. They hear what we say, but they watch what we do. Use your time during the week to redeem things about the Lord. Again, you don't got to give them a dissertation, but just talk about a situation they're going through and say, well, how do you feel about it? What do you think God says about that? Hey, let's pray about that together. You got a rough test coming up. Let's pray about that together. Or what do you think God would have you learn from this? Just little things like that. Bringing God to bear in real life, in their lives. Dad, you can do that. Make sure it's happening for you. And then make sure it's happening in the relationship with the kids. Moms and dads both. But again, he's addressing dads here. What an awesome example you guys are. And you know what I see? And there are many guys who are doing just this, by the way. I don't want to skip that. I would not make light of it because I watch. And a lot of you dads, you're really stepping up. I see your involvement, your care, your prayer for them. You're trying to lead your children in the Lord. Again, just being here this morning is part of that, but throughout the week. And I go, it's not easy being a parent. And the culture would bombard you with all these other things, try to indicate that somehow you don't matter or something, but you do. I want to encourage you. You matter, Dad. You matter, Mom. Don't listen to sitcoms. Don't listen to culture. Listen to the Lord. And keep at it, because they're well done in your future. Maybe not from the kids. But from him. We must press on. Verse 5. The next relationship he applies all this to. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he received the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. In our culture, in our time, we don't live in bondservant, slave, master relationships. So what's the application today? It is to what we would call the employee-employer relationship. At the end of verse 8, it talks about that this applies whether you're slave or free. And speaking about a relationship, in this case, in which we agree to work for someone for a certain income, for a certain time, for a certain job, we have an employee-employer relationship for many of us. And that's what this is addressing. How we conduct ourselves on the job is important. It's another place of being a witness for the Lord. It's another thing we're going to offer up to Him to hear well done for. It's just so much wrapped up in this. And so the Lord addresses it. And notice in particular, when we do this, we are to do these things to Him. We're not to do them, it says in verse 6, with eye service as men pleasers. In case you wonder what it means to not do your job with eye service, here's an example of eye. Matter of fact, I can probably give you an example of eye service. If you live where there's other people who work also, if you're not just the only employee there, but there's other employees, here's what eye service is. Watch how they change what they do when the boss walks in. That's employment under eye. That's a men pleaser. That's eye service. You know that they're barely working, getting enough done so it looks like they've done something. The boss walks in and boy, are they productive. All of a sudden they're just cranking out the work and you're going, whoa, what a change. That's because the boss showed up. Boss leaves, slow way down again, talking away. See, that's doing it unto men. And what that person doesn't realize is their boss is still there watching. And that's what the Lord's trying to point out to all of us. Let God raise our eyes above the things of our day. Thank God for employment. Thank God for means of income. But recognize that they shouldn't be the end in themselves. But even our employment is a way to be a witness for Him, a way to look for opportunities to share Him. Let God redeem everything we do. Do it as unto Him is the call. See our job or whatever we do as a means to His end. That's what this is talking about. And if we do that, it'll change the outlook of our day. Look for His agenda in everything. But in particular, notice this in this idea of being an employee. Look at verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Interesting thought. He says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he'll receive the same from the Lord. We'll receive what we gave. Now, don't answer out loud, but let me ask you, how do you feel about that proposition? How do you feel about God saying, okay, I'm going to give you what you gave your employer? Hold on. Lord, I'm kind of hoping you're going to give me a lot more than I give my employer. Would you really want the Lord to only give you and deal with you the way you give and deal with your employer? He says, whatever you do, Lord will do the same for you. Do your best. Do your all. And recognize that He sees and He's the rewarder in the end. But verse 9 speaks now to employers. Are you a supervisor? Do you hold authority over somebody? Are you an employer? Verse 9. And you masters, do the same things to them. In that same way, treat those who you have authority over. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. Employers, always remember, you are not the top boss. Sometimes we can start thinking that. You know, we're the king of the castle. We're in charge around here. He says, be careful, because you're not. Oh, that people would recognize that. And we're told to pray for our leaders, and I want to be positive in that way, but I have to recognize what is. And that is, I sure wish the Supreme Court of our land would recognize they're not the top authority. I wish the politicians would recognize they're not the top authority, that everybody answers to someone. I was talking earlier to one of our guys here. He's active duty Navy. And we were talking about that fact. You always got to remember, you're not the top dog. When that young enlisted guy has to salute the officer is supposed to return the salute. And that goes up the whole chain. And it's to remind every one of them that it doesn't start or stop with you, does it? You're part of a chain. It's not a statement about whether you're better or worse or anything. It's just part of an authority. And God has a chain of authority to accomplish His purposes. And always remember that. Employers, in the end, you have a master. You have an employer, if you will, in this example. Treat others, your employees, in that same way. And there's no partiality with him. Do you play partiality? Do you have partialness if you're a supervisor? Do you have partialness if you're an employer? Hard not to sometimes, but be careful of partiality. There's no partiality with our heavenly master. Well, we've covered now, between last week, the husband and wife relationship, this week, parent-child, employer-employee relationships. Three interpersonal relationships here. But notice in each one, you did notice this, I hope, that in each one of those relationships, when it talks about husband and wives and children and parents, you did see it said such things as, and make sure that you have that other person do their part. That's your main calling. Make sure that they live up to their side of this. Sometimes we think that. But no, it doesn't say that. It's just another verse kind of driving home the Lord's admonition to worry about the beam in our own eye. That we're to do our part in this, whatever side of the equation we might be on, husband, wife, employee, employer, whatever it is, parent, child. That we have our part in this, and that'll keep us busy for our lifetimes. Work on our side of it to the calling. Don't go out of here and use this on the other people. Let God use it on us, is the calling. But I now want to get to something that's at kind of the core of all this. Woven throughout all this is a theme, if you will. There's a thread running through it all. In verse 5, at the end, you do all this in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Doing all these things as unto the Lord is the theme, the thread that runs through it all. That we're to live our lives in such a way that all that we do unto Him. Way back in chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord. Further on down, verse 28, husbands ought to love their wives, etc. Verse 29, we do this just as the Lord does the church. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. As I said, verse 5, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Verse 6, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men. I'm picking up a theme. Hopefully you are too. God gave us His relationship, the marital relationship, the parental relationship. They're not just happenstance. They're set up by God. And notice how much they echo and reflect Him. And there are opportunities to do it for Him. We want to do something for God. You know, Lord, I want to do something for you. I really want to just have something to offer you as all said and done. He said, here it is. It's where you live. It's right what I designed. It's what I designed your marriage to be. It's what I designed your parenting to be. It's what I designed your work to be. Work is honorable and good. Now do it all to me. And you're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in these things. These are the things. What are the things? The things that we're in, that we're given, our circumstances. So He designs all this and says, now just do it for me, and you watch. I'll bless you now, and you hear, well done then. What a deal. Because He tells us how to. Again, He doesn't say, here, go for it. Hope you make it. But He shows us how to do it. Twice in here He talks about from the heart. From the heart to the Lord. That's how we're to live, not just to keep the boss happy or something. The Lord has made us new, brand new inside if you receive Christ. Now, live it out right where we are, is the call. And he says it's to be of the heart. Why? Because our hearts belong to him now. We say, Lord, I give you my heart. He says, then here's what that's to look like. So once again, we see it's just a continuation of what he began in chapter 5 here. Every one of these relationships that he points to here, it's interesting, are sort of picture of him and us, if you think about it. The husband-wife relationship, he specifically even said, this is how Christ loves the church and all, and our response to the Lord. But go on to this other. He is our heavenly Father. We are his children if we've been born again. So it's a picture of him and us. What are we called to do? Honor, obey. We're to learn that love says no sometimes, just as a parent. Love means no sometimes, says no, and we learn that. It's in that relationship. It's a picture of us and him. And the next relationship, employer-employee, we serve a master, our heavenly master. Not a cruel master, of course, a loving master, but we serve him. He's the one we do it for. Why? Because of the reward. He knows. We know there's a reward. We know there's that well done up ahead. There's that desire to give him glory. So we do it all unto him. I'm going to invite the worship team up, but I'm not done. Let me just say this in closing. The Lord, through Paul here, addresses three relationships, as I've said, in this section, from chapter 5, 22 through 6, 9. Husband-wife, child-parent, employee-employer. And you have to admit, he's getting very practical, isn't he? I mean, that's right where we live. Again, think about that, because that's the point. Those three things, the marriage relationship, the parenting-child relationship, the work relationship, for many of us, that are probably the three primary relationships of our lives. That's where we spend most our time. That's where we spend most our energy. There's other things. We have our hobbies and all, but those three are right up there. And again, the call is to remember, it's of his design that that's the case. But because that is where we put so much time, it's also where there's so much stress. There's so much pressure. We can feel so much struggle gets involved in that because that is such importance. And it does take up so much from us. So what's the point of it all? We saw it last week, but I have to go back to it again because it's all part and parcel of the same point, same topic. Since these are the areas of our calling, since these are the areas of much of our stress and much of our struggle, what does Paul do with them? He takes them to show us our need once again. Lord, how am I going to be this kind of husband? How can I be this kind of parent? How can I be this kind of employee? Chapter 5, verse 18. We looked at it last week. I close with it again this morning. This whole thing is to be a living out of that calling, what? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually filled. We can't do any of this without that ongoing filling available for us to receive and walk in. So all this, it drives us back to the one who designed it. But he's faithful. We receive, he'll do it. So take courage. Be encouraged this morning. God is faithful. Father, you placed before us an important reminder this morning of your design, your purposes, your calling. But Father, also, I pray you'll just help us soak in how. Not just the what, but how. That surrenderedness, that yieldedness, that continual filling with the Holy Spirit. May you find us open and eager and responsive. And may it all give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.